Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. This is Father Steve. Today is Monday, April 27th, and I'd like to continue our discussion that we've been having over the last several days on the sacraments. And specifically, we've been talking in the last day or two about the sacrament of baptism. Now, you might recall from yesterday's podcast that I ended that podcast with a bit of a teaser, right? Talking about the principle that baptism is necessary for salvation. It's necessary in order to be saved, to go to heaven. And what does that mean, and what doesn't it mean? Okay. I didn't go into it in any great detail yesterday. I left you hanging, and I had to tune in today. So let's talk about it. What that principle means, that baptism is necessary for salvation, and what it doesn't mean. Okay. First of all, to establish the fact that baptism, receiving baptism, is necessary for someone to be saved, this is one of those instances where the proof or the core of the teaching of the church comes directly from the words of God himself, of our Lord Jesus. Okay? In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says this when he's speaking to the Pharisee Nicodemus. Okay, he says this: "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Okay, now that's obviously a very direct command, you could say, or directive from the Lord. This cannot happen without that. And again, remember, this is God himself speaking, because Jesus is God. And so the church has always understood that directive from the Lord to mean that baptism, being baptized, receiving the sacrament of baptism, is necessary in order for one to be able to be saved and to go to heaven. All right? Now, again, before we jump to conclusions about that, let's talk about what that means and what it doesn't mean, okay? So there are five paragraphs in the catechism on the necessity of baptism. They start with paragraph number 1257, and they go through paragraph 1261, right? I would highly recommend that you read these for yourself, because they contain some very important information for Catholics to know about how we understand the sacrament of baptism and its importance and how it works, right? And remember, if you don't have a catechism at home, a hard copy for yourself, that's okay, because you can get it online for free. All you have to do is do a Google search of Catechism of the Catholic Church, and the Vatican website will pop right up, and you can click on it, and then it has the table of contents with clickable links, and you can just go right to, you know, the sacrament of baptism, chapter 5, the necessity of baptism. Click on that. It'll bring it right up for you. That's actually what I'm using right now as I'm creating this podcast, okay? So let's listen to what the church says here. This is paragraph 1257. It says, "The Lord himself affirms that baptism is necessary for salvation." And then it gives a footnote referencing the scripture passage that I just read for you from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 5. Okay? Then it continues. "Jesus also commanded his disciples to proclaim the gospel to all nations and to baptize them." All right? That's at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus says, "Go out to all the nations, you know, teaching them what I taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All right. The Catechism continues. "Baptism is necessary for salvation." Now, this is important. Notice what it says. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Got a little tongue-tied there. "For those to whom the gospel has been proclaimed and who have had the possibility asking for this sacrament," right? So, someone who has, the gospel has been proclaimed to them, they know who Jesus is, They are familiar with the teachings of the Christian faith, and they've had the opportunity to ask to be baptized, right? And the catechism continues. The church does not know of any other means than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude or eternal life. The church does not know of any other means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude. That is why she takes care not to neglect the mission she has received from the Lord to see that all who can be baptized are reborn of water and the Spirit. Now, a couple of things to notice there. Obviously, we are saying that baptism is necessary for salvation, all right? And that the church is a powerful line, that the church does not know any other way. Notice, though, the church does not know any other way. That does not mean that there is absolutely no other way. We just don't know what it would be, okay? And the church tells us that that's how we should interpret it by this last line of paragraph 1257 when it says, God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism, but he himself is not bound by his sacraments. So God has told us this is the way to open up the gates of heaven is to be baptized. And so we, as recipients of God's word and teaching, we cannot say with any kind of certainty that there is any other way. We don't know of any other way. But that doesn't mean that there isn't actually some other way that God knows of. It's just that we don't know of it, and we would be wrong to assert another way ourselves, to say, well, you could also be saved if this or that happened. Okay? So, let me give you an example that kind of helps with this a little bit. That's one that I commonly use to talk about baptism and the necessity of baptism. In fact, it's one that I talked about in a podcast very early on, right? If I'm giving somebody directions on how to get to my house, and they've never been to my house before, and they've never even been to the neighborhood that I live in before, and I give them very explicit instructions on how to get here, they do not know any other way than the instructions that I gave them. Now, are there in fact other ways to get to my house? Well, sure there are, but they don't know what they are. And it would be foolish to try to find your way on your own, other than the directions that I gave you, okay? But let's say that you get lost and get off course. Because I know my address and neighborhood very, very well, I would be able to give a person another set of directions based on where they are to get here, okay? So the person receiving the directions is bound to use them because they don't know any other way. The person giving the directions is not bound to use the directions that he gave. He knows multiple ways. Hopefully that makes sense. And to emphasize that, the church continues with paragraph 1258. It says this. The church has always held the firm conviction that those who suffer death for the sake of the faith without having received baptism are baptized by their death for and with Christ. This is baptism of blood. Like the desire for baptism, it brings about the fruits of baptism without being a sacrament. Okay, so right away the church is saying, yes, baptism is necessary for salvation. However, in the case of somebody who is martyred, right, killed for being a Christian, but they haven't had a chance to be baptized yet, they're baptized by the means of their shedding of their own blood. They receive the fruits of baptism, forgiveness of original sin and all personal sins, etc., because they shed their own blood for the sake of the Christian faith, right? And now the church is going to let us know about another exception. This is 1259. For catechumens who die before baptism. Now remember, a catechumen is someone who is officially in the process of learning about the Catholic faith and desiring to become Catholic, but has not yet been baptized. And is, you know, when they join the church, then they're planning to be baptized. Okay. For catechumens who die before their baptism, their explicit desire to receive baptism, together with repentance for their sins and charity, assures them the salvation that they were not able to receive through the sacrament. So, heaven forbid, you have a catechumen who, as they're driving to the church to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, suffer a fatal car accident and die, okay? We would say their salvation is assured because of their intention. They were on their way, literally, to receiving baptism, but death intervened. Okay, God's not going to hold that against them. And now in paragraph 1260, we get to the situation of people who have never heard the gospel message before. So think of someone who lives perhaps in a remote part of the world where Christians have never been. There's never been a proclamation of the gospel. They've never heard of Jesus Christ before. All right. What about those people? Well, it's a good question. This is what it says. Since Christ died for all, and since all men are in fact called to one and the same destiny, which is divine, we must hold that the Holy Spirit offers to all the possibility of being made partakers in a way that is known to God of the Paschal Mystery. Every man who is ignorant of the gospel of Christ and of his church, but seeks the truth and does the will of God in accordance with his understanding of it, can be saved. It may be supposed that such persons would have desired baptism explicitly if they had known its necessity, right? So what we're talking about there are people that, you know, first of all, the principle that God wants everybody to be saved, right? We also have free will. But what about a person who never hears the gospel? It's not their own fault. They never heard it. Okay, does that mean that they should have to go to hell after they die? Well, no. The church is saying we believe there has to be some way that God judges them according to what they were capable of, how they lived their life, whether they acted in accordance with the law of God that's imprinted on every human heart, right? Knowing right from wrong at a basic level, trying to live a good and upright life, that it's possible for them to be saved. Again, we don't know how that works, right? As God's creatures. That's why the Catechism says in that paragraph 1260, this is accomplished, their salvation is accomplished in a way that's known to God. He knows. We don't. And we don't get to say that there's another way other than what God has laid out for us. Okay? This brings up a really important question and a very delicate one. And it's a question that I have encountered in my life as a priest. We probably all have encountered it. And that is, what happens in regards to children who tragically pass away, either before they're born, you know, think of all of the children tragically who have been aborted, or a child who dies through miscarriage or is stillborn, or children who tragically die before they have an opportunity to be baptized. What about those situations, those children? You know, it's pretty difficult to imagine, for us anyway, that God wouldn't admit them to heaven. So what can we say about them, right? And here, I think that the church's teaching is incredibly beautiful because it holds to the truth, which is important for us. We must always hold to what is true and right, but it does so in a way that is incredibly compassionate and gentle and understanding. Let me read this for you. This is paragraph 1261. Of the Catechism. It says, as regards children who have died without baptism, the Church can only entrust them to the mercy of God, as she does in her funeral rites for them. Indeed, the great mercy of God, who desires that all men should be saved, and Jesus' tenderness toward children, which caused him to say, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, allow us to hope that there is a way of salvation for children who have died without baptism. All the more urgent is the church's call not to prevent little children coming to Christ through the gift of holy baptism. Okay? That's beautiful, at least in my opinion. Beautifully said and well written. So, can we say for certain that a child who has died before receiving baptism will automatically go to heaven? Well, no, we can't say that for certain because we don't know that. And that's obviously a very difficult thing sometimes for people to hear. It's not trying to be harsh, but it's the reality of the fact that we believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, and even though God knows other ways, we don't. Okay? But a very important point to remember is that we can have great reason for hope. Not certainty, but hope that these children who die before baptism will indeed be saved and will be welcomed into heaven because we know the mercy of our God and we know Jesus' action towards children during his life on earth in which he said, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So that gives us great reason to hope and to trust in the mercy of God. And at the end of the day, that's all we really can do in any situation, is trust in the mercy of God. And to know that God's mercy, God's justice, God's love, God's decision is always what is best, always. We may think we know better what would be right or just, but God always acts for what is right and true and just and loving and merciful. Okay? And then, of course, the church says this is even more reason why, you know, when possible, children should be baptized without delay. Okay? So that they can receive the life-giving waters of baptism. So tomorrow, what I'll talk about in tomorrow's podcast is I'd like to answer a few objections that are sometimes raised in regards to the sacrament of baptism, specifically about the baptism of infants and children. And then if we have time, I will start to get into the last portion of my discussion of the sacrament of baptism, which is the fruits or the effects, what happens in our soul when we are baptized. Okay? God bless you. Act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.